Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. You're live on the Pinkney to Pinkney show, and I'm your host today. My name is Monica Lewis Patrick, and I'm here at Ground Zero, live in Detroit, Michigan. But I'm sitting in today for none other than our great hero, our leader, the Reverend Edward Pinkney. As many of you know, he is under house arrest. He is a political prisoner due to him speaking up and speaking out, being such a courageous leader in Benton Harbor against the corporatizing and privatizing of public dollars, public land, and public interest. And so we salute Reverend Pinkney and all that he's doing in terms of showing how to be a man of great faith, how to walk upright in terms of what is right. He never wavers. Also, our love and much respect with Mother Pinkney, who has just been an awesome helpmeet to him in this fight for social and political justice here in America. And so we definitely want the family to just continue to lift him up in prayer, continue to support his efforts. For those that would like to support the defense of Reverend Pinkney, we would be more than happy to receive your donations. At 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. You can send a contribution to the Defense Fund to Free Reverend Pinkney at 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And if you'd like to be able to support Reverend Pinkney, and you have the ability to put it on your credit card or to use the internet and use your debit card, you can also go to the Facebook page or the website to bhbanco.org, bhbanco.org, and you can also reach out there to be able to send your contributions to Reverend Pinkney. But he wanted me to make sure that I gave you an update that on this Thursday, there were criminal charges that were filed against the mayor for the manufacturing and contriving of or falsifying documentation. And so there were criminal charges that were filed on this past Thursday, so there still is action being taken in order to make sure that the truth comes out and that everyone is aware that Reverend Pinkney is going to be vindicated once all of this information is revealed to the public. And so we just ask you to continue to support Reverend Pinkney. Free Pinkney. All of you out there, say it over and over. Free Pinkney. Free Pinkney. Make sure also that you're showing up, you're getting ready, you're challenging your pastors and your community organizers to get their buses and vans, carpool if you can, and get to Occupy the PGA on May 24th. That's going to be a great opportunity for us to come out to show our support and love for Reverend Pinkney and our brothers and sisters in Benton Harbor. It also will be a great time for us to let Whirlpool and the corporate entities that are suppressing the people of Benton Harbor and stealing from them, actually not paying their fair share in terms of taxes and their obligation to the community as a good partner. We want them to get a message from the people of America and the people of Michigan that we will not allow them to get by with not paying their fair share on the backs of working and poor people. So want to make sure that you show up, occupy the PGA, be downtown at the courthouse at 11 o'clock so we can make sure we're ready to start on time, and then we're going to move forward from there. We also have our lines filling up and just so excited about a lot of the guests that we have on the line today. I know that the lineup that I had is that we were going to get a call from Susan, and Susan is with us out of Ann Arbor. And I'm hoping that I have the correct information for her, but we'll get her in there. I'm going to go ahead and just move on to Larry in Minnesota and get him on the line to to talk to us today about what's going on in Minnesota. Larry, are you there? Larry? Is this Larry
now,
in
this
Minnesota?
This is not Larry, but this is Sister Hattie in Minnesota.
And hi, Sister Hattie. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored in the Lord, just like you, anyhow.
Yes, ma'am. So glad to have you on the line. Can you update us as to what's happening in Minnesota?
Well, we are having our own struggles here in Minnesota. Sometimes it seems the same in the sense that it all falls under the umbrella of white supremacy.
Yes, ma'am.
It falls under the umbrella of people who are willing to sell out African American children, our community, for anything. It's just pretty unfortunate. One of the things that I've been working on here is the placement of children, out of home placement for African American children. We know that we have about 9% of the population here African American, but then we go over to Child Protection Services. And probably more than, and this is conservative, 80% of the children are African-American children that are being taken out of their homes, placed in foster care. And the most recent battle that we were fighting was from Dorothy Dunning, a grandmother in Mississippi, who had two little granddaughters, and she wanted to have them. They were her son's children, and they had been taken, and she wanted them, but they ended up in a foster home where it's just been heartbreaking for her. So, you know, you can look at Dorothy Dunning's Facebook page and see what that's all about. That's just one issue. When we get to the educational system, unfortunately, our children here are just falling through the cracks as everywhere else in the nation. African-American children are not up to what they need to be in order to go to college and be successful. There are just disparities everywhere. And when we talk about the penal complex here, same thing. It's that pipeline. As Michelle Alexander explained it so well in her book, The New Jim Crow, foster care to the penitentiary pipeline. There's a pipeline, and we know that overwhelmingly, here in Minnesota, too, people, African-American men, are being incarcerated at an alarming rate as every place else. So, you know, you look at the education, you look at the penal complex, there's just, it seems to be very strategically done that there's just an out-and-out war on African-American people. And now the people seem to be going after women even more.
Yes,
young
ma'am.
Women, and that started a while back with the war on drugs, when if a girl was dating a guy that was doing something wrong, they both got to go. And then yet we know that nobody has all these planes and trains and things to bring these drugs in the community, so that's just such a disparity. And Judge Pam Alexander was the one that really took that to task when they were giving sentences that were a lot lighter for cocaine rather than and higher sentences in the judiciary for people who were doing crack cocaine. And we know the crack cocaine was infiltrated in the African-American community. And, of course, she took a great hit for that, because ultimately we know that if we stand up for ourselves, we will be punished. And the way that we get punished is by people who look like us, because white supremacy could not operate and work in this fashion unless some of us participated in it with them. African-American people participate in it with them to make them, the white supremacists, come out on top. So I've been working with the legislator to try to put in some new laws, some new languages that will help us to keep our children within the family structure. Because that's just genocide. It's just almost like modern-day slavery, as I say so many times, and people get nervous and upset when I say it around here, because there's not a lot of cohesiveness around the area here. There are a few few people that are grassroots and that are willing to try to do their best to help improve our plight here in Minnesota. But I can tell you it's pretty bad. And there's been a group of people that are movers and shakers that have been meeting and saying that we really need to be united and get together and fix some of these problems ourselves. So that's kind of what's going on in Minnesota. Walter Mondale, the late Walter Mondale, said when they came up with this best interest of the child in this out-of-home placement, he said, be careful with this because it could turn into child trafficking. And that's exactly what's done here. And so, you know, on a personal level, I've adopted some children. I had no problem with them. As a matter of fact, one of mine went back to their biological family for a while and then they gave them back to me. But I've just always supported that biological families should have first choice of the children because you're keeping families together. Those children are only going to get just kind of off task if they are not with their biological families if they want them. They eventually are going to want to find them. And so, I mean, I'm just going to, you know, for my personal children that I've adopted, I've already started, you know, just kind of planning things so that as they get older and when they're, you know, reach the milestones, high school and what have you, I will connect them with their family members because they're blood family, biological family. If they ask me, I'm going to be able to do that. I'm going on Ancestry.com and figuring out some of that stuff now. I mean, I have some of the missing pieces, but I'm a strong believer in that. And I didn't personally have trouble with them, but I didn't realize that these people were just actually taking people's children and the biological families wanted them because they just felt like, well, they could raise them better. I don't think that's right. Because just because someone is poor.
What you're speaking to is going on all across the country. I work with special needs populations in North Carolina and in Tennessee, and then since I've been in Michigan. And I know I saw actually the court system be duplicitous in actually helping, you know, you had private companies coming in and they were able to seize the psychiatric dollars for our children. And because a lot of our people had been convinced through bad information being disseminated through social workers to actually put our children on medication or decide that because they cannot sit still for a certain length of time, that they needed to be medicated, and therefore they could get a check, those things have led to actually our people participating unknowingly in actually moving that agenda forward where it continues, as you spoke to so eloquently, this prison to pipeline that's been created by privatizing our schools, privatizing the prisons, and then the political power is being adjusted in such a way it makes sure that they go straight from school to prison.
That's right. And don't let me get on that one, the psychotropic drug action. It was a number of years ago some of us rallied to not have them build a University of Minnesota wanted to build a research center right in the heart of the African-American community, like the cornerstone of the African-American community. What's wrong with these children? They're mentally ill. That's what they were saying. And what we're telling them is, let me tell you what's wrong with our community here. It's not that they're mentally ill. They may be mentally ill by now because you have made them mentally ill because you have undereducated, didn't educate, and forced them into poverty. So if you have education and jobs, I'm sure they'll take care of everything else themselves. And see, that's the squeeze
right.
out, the jobs and the education.
Right.
And many parents don't know how to get a good education for their children. I mean, I'm just a former educator, principal, science teacher, associate superintendent, and I'm telling you, it's really hard. At the end of my career before I retired, it was just like a war for me to try to help the children to get them educated. It was just system after system put into public education that will just refuses to educate children. And quiet as it's kept, people believe it's just happening to African-American children. I'm going to tell you, American children, period, are not where they should be on the whole scheme of things educationally. And if this country wanted to educate children right now, all they would have to do
and start using some of those Nick Juniors and Disney Juniors and put on some things to educate children, because multimedia is so bad, and communication, telecommunications is so bad now, that they could just whip up some stuff. There are people, geniuses running around here, but they don't want to. And they don't want to because the multinationalists internationally want underclass of people. It's just like a sinister plot. That's the way it seems.
Yes. Exactly.
System after system.
Exactly.
Attack
well,
after
I
attack.
And they, I definitely mm-hmm. applaud the work that you're doing in Minnesota, because I know it's not an easy task, but it sounds like you're doing a yeoman's job in making sure that our children are being advocated for, and that somebody is out there on the front line advocating
to
them.
Yes,
ma'am.
There are a few of us. We are definitely trying to do that, and I'm going to let you – someone else talk now, but it's just such a passion of mine that if we don't do it, then who?
That's right.
And
that's
there,
right.
There's a group of us. You'll be probably, I mean, they've been asking me like crazy, too, just about like Reverend Pinkney. It's like they're surveilling me and following me around, stalking me. So who knows what they'll come up with next.
Well, we definitely going to continue to keep praying for each other, but I definitely applaud all that you're doing in Minnesota, and we really, really appreciate your hard work.
Well, we appreciate the model that's being set out there in Benton Harbor, because what Reverend Pinkney was able to do is really quite unbelievable in terms of what can be done to protect our community, and It's just really great. What you know, I've been listening to him for ever since I started being harassed, and I called him. He says, "Well, it's that way here too and everywhere." So they'll be picking everybody off one at a time, because there are not very many courageous people if we're not careful. But thank God, across the nation, people are coming together somewhat,
That's
and
right.
African American people are gonna have to take a stand.
Yes, ma'am.
Enough is enough.
Thank you so much. Enough
You're
is
welcome.
Enough.
And thank you for
enough
letting me
enough.
Banter on my soapbox today.
Oh, no. Thank you for calling in on the Pinkney to Pinkney Show, and we appreciate all your support. All right,
okay.
We're going to go to a person in Detroit. Seems like we have on the line Ms. Jean Vorkamp. Are you there, Jean? Jean, are you on the line?
Hi, Monica.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. I know about all the great work you've been doing here in Detroit in terms of protecting voter rights and advocating and really getting a lot of great information out there about the connectedness between these corporations and what is happening with the dismantlement of the election process in Michigan. Can you share a little bit of what you've been up to?
Sure. Did you want me to talk about Detroit?
Sure. And I'd love for you to talk about Detroit, because I think there's some similarities in Detroit and also what's going on in Benton Harbor.
Sure. Well, I was a mayoral candidate, and I was one of the many people that asked for a recount. And at the recount, I saw probably thousands of ballots in similar or the same handwriting. A group of about 100 people in Detroit, which was not covered in the newspaper, would go to the recount, photograph different ballots, and then we would match the ballots to show that the handwriting was similar or the same. And when we turned the ballots in that matched, nothing happened. When we pointed out ballots that matched right in front of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, nothing happened. The election was sent to the Attorney General's office because of 9 computer-generated ballots that had that writing candidate's name misspelled on there, not because of thousands of ballots in the same handwriting, not because blank ballots were missing in every box, not because of the million things that were wrong with that election. The press did not cover it. I'm sorry?
Just to be clear, you're saying that there were thousands and thousands of ballots that were written in the same handwriting. that there were all of these inconsistencies in terms of election law with how the containers should be sealed, how they should be locked, and how they should be secured. There were discrepancies all across the board with so many that really they would have had to throw out the whole election. And what they opted to do is to do nothing.
Yes. Yes, that seems to be, you know, when it, you know, you, that a bunch of candidates took it to the Wayne County Court, where the write-in candidate was also the prosecutor, where his father had worked before he became a Republican federal judge. And so those court proceedings were abominable. I'd actually never really been to court that often, and I was shocked at how it was and how it was kind of disgusting to watch what happened in the courtroom. Their lawyers for the write-in candidate, one was Snyder's lawyer for the recall, and the other one, oddly, even though he was defending this, was one of Gore's legal counsels in 2000 in Florida. So it was all...
One of the people that were involved with the Detroit questions and issues around the election actually was an attorney that was involved with the Al Gore campaign when this big debacle around chads and hanging chads went on?
Yes, in Florida, the recount, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then is that same person, wasn't he also the chief litigator for the NAACP?
Yes.
And then it's my understanding he is now the corporation counsel for the city of Detroit for the same mayor that is has been elected under some questionable circumstances.
Exactly, Monica. It's a nightmare. And in the bankruptcy plan, that same mayor would be in charge of the picking the majority on the health care, over all the health care for the retirees.
And then he's also, he was involved in the first takeover, the mayor was, the sitting mayor, he was involved in the first takeover of DPS schools, and now he is involved in what is potentially some closed-door coup to take over DPS schools after it's supposed to be transitioned from under emergency management.
You know, Monica, it's, you know, this whole experience, you know, we've been through it together. I think that looking at it, it's a nightmare for anyone that went through this, for anyone who ever believed in democracy, who believed they had voting rights, who believed they could actually run and find out how many votes they really got. So I think that you know, it's been reported to the authorities. It was reported to local, state, federal authorities. The people that were on the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, one of them is directly connected to someone in the Attorney General's Office of Michigan. You know, that nothing has been done is a screaming cry about the direction this country is going. That it's my belief that this is all connected. The emergency manager, you know, emergency management, the first time that it was put in the United States was by some of under Romney in the state of Massachusetts in, I believe, 91 or 92. Before that, it was used in the Second Reich, and it helped to make everything that Hitler did legal. You know, what I can't understand is why the whole country isn't alarmed, why the president isn't alarmed. I think that no matter what else people are working on, you know, as far as social change, when you have no vote, you have nothing. Like, as a country, what people have to understand is what happened in Detroit is that it shows that we as Americans have nothing.
So everything that we've been made to believe in terms of the efficacy of the vote, our voting rights, all of that has really just come to a screeching halt with the information that's being revealed throughout these election processes, like what happened in Detroit, like what's happening in Benton Harbor, where the whole motive for charging Reverend Pinckney was to be able to set aside the election so that the corporations, corporate stooge that is running the city of Benton Harbor could not be removed. And recall is part of the electoral process that we've been promised under the Constitution.
Well, recall for who they want to recall, not who regular everyday people want to recall. And I believe Whirlpool is part of the Business Leaders for Michigan, and a lot of those people are also donors for the current mayor of Detroit. So there seems to be a group of people that, you know, a lot of people will speak in general terms, but I think that really there's just a small group of people that is controlling this, and I think that they're connected to ALEC and that whole group of people throughout the United States. And I don't think that they're healthy for the United States of America.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think what you said is right on point, that we've got to be willing to stand up against this tyranny. We cannot be fearful. We cannot bury our heads in the sand and believe that it's going to get better. It's only going to get better if we stop it and we work against it and we resist it. But, Jean, is there anything that before I let you go that you wanted to share that you're working on that is actually a part of rebuilding community? I know you do an awesome job with young people in your community.
Yes, I think that what people just need to know is that there's a lot of kids who don't get the chance to learn how to read, and that's just because they need one-on-one attention, and I think that the school systems need to provide that. I would just hope that everyone realizes that this is going on everywhere, just like the woman who was on the phone before. You know, everything she said is just going on everywhere, and it's just regular, everyday people that are suffering, you know, all over this country. You know, the generation, like, I don't know, from about 18 to about 35, they've never really had jobs that are really good. I mean, we are just all suffering, but we have to realize that it's time for us to reach out to each other and to stop suffering and to start holding people accountable openly. And I also just wanted to add that if people would like to see the ballots from the Detroit election, they can go to DetroitRecount.blogspot.com.
Well, I know I really appreciate, Jean, all the work that you've been doing in Detroit and just fighting for democracy and really pulling the covers back and revealing and exposing who these corporate people are, because sometimes, like you said, we talk about corporations as though they're a separate entity and they're actually headed up by people. And so we've got to expose who those people are so that people can be informed and they can fight back. But thank you so much for being on the air, for being with us today on Pinkney to Pinkney, and continue to do the good work you're doing in Detroit.
Okay. Thank you, Monica, and you rock on. All right.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
This is the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. You're on with Monica.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, my sister Monica?
I am wonderful. How are you, sir?
I am fine. This is Larry Pinkney.
Yes, sir.
I want to first of all thank you very, very much for allowing me some time to say some things. I want to address two things, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Very quickly and succinctly, if I may, sister. Number one, as a veteran of the original Black Panther Party in California, I can say that our struggle, as we said, all power to the people, everyday ordinary people, our struggle really has intensified. And the agents of repression, that is to say, corporations, those who run those blood-sucking corporations, that is to say, so-called educational institutions, and I say so-called because I would urge everyone to go back and read the book by the late, great Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro. Because what we have got today in May of 2014 is a total miseducation, not only of black folk, but of all folk. And we are kept in a state of constant disorder. We are kept in a state of fear. We are kept in a state of disunity, and that's really what this is all about. Having come to Minnesota, where I am now, from California, I'd like to just very briefly point out that we call Minnesota, Minnesota, Mississippi, because that is precisely what Minnesota is. In reality, people such as Walter Mondale, Hubert Humphrey, etc., were among the people who broke the back, both euphemistically mystically and physically for Lyndon Baines Johnson of our great hero, Fannie Lou Hamer. And we must understand that history is a continuum. It is a continuum. Here in Minnesota, what we have, and not just in Minnesota, but in Benton Harbor, Michigan, what we have is hypocrisy, not democracy. We have hypocrisy. Here in Minnesota, our biggest enemies and most insidious enemies, the enemies of the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, are, I'm sad to say, people who look just like us, just like us. And this is what we have in Minnesota, Mississippi. We have what I call collaborators, stooges, and pawns during the who do the dirty work, as this stooge, Mayor James Hightower, does the dirty work of his plantation bosses in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Well, we have the same thing here. We have it here with our so-called elected officials, our so-called leaders. They are not leaders. They are, in fact, misleaders, collaborators, stooges, and pawns. Now, I don't want to be negative, or at least not totally negative. I want to say that we in this country are doing all that we can to awaken people from that lethargic state that they have been in, particularly at this time, black Americans, African-American communities throughout the United States. And I want to now, if I may, move quickly to what is happening and has been happening for well over a decade in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Reverend Edward Pinckney has for so many years been a, quote, voice in the wilderness, unquote, in the struggle to raise the consciousness of the people. Benton Harbor was, of course, one of, if not the first township or city, if you will, in the state of Michigan that the government, I call them corporate government dictators, moved on specifically. And what happened in Benton Harbor is precisely what happened in Detroit, Michigan. And we have to understand that these things didn't happen by osmosis. They happened by design. So when we look at the charges against Reverend Edward Pinckney in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and we look at his outrageous $30,000 ransom, which we euphemistically refer to as a bond, and we look at the fact that he's under house arrest, and we look at the fact that he's tethered, and we look at the fact that he's being disallowed use of access to his computer, all by Benton Harbor court and police authorities, why we understand that we are really living in apartheid. Let's be honest. We are living in economic and political apartheid. And we got to remember that Reverend Edward Pinckney has not been convicted of anything in this matter. Yet all of these punitive, stringent, punitive actions have been taken against him. And this tells us that the authorities, in this case in Benton Harbor, Michigan, but really all over the country, that these authorities will stop at nothing to silence and to unjustly convict Reverend Pinckney and anyone else in Benton Harbor or anywhere else in this country who dare to oppose this corrupt corporate judicial and political system. However, the flip side of that coin is, as we used to say in the Black Panther Party, the will of the people, the will of the people is stronger than the man's technology. And it is, perhaps even more so today. We are a sleeping giant. It is time for us to do, all of us to do, what Reverend Edward Pinckney and others are doing in Benton Harbor and in other parts of this country. It is time for us to really awaken, as Marcus Garvey tried to remind folk, as Brother Malcolm X tried to remind folk, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Medgar Evers, Rosa Parks, and the list just is endless, all tried to remind us. It's time for us to pick this mantle up and really to carry it on. And I want to really emphasize that I'm going to go back to this point. I know it's very painful to some folks, but I want to emphasize that our most insidious, effectively insidious enemies, all right, enemies of the everyday, ordinary, struggling black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, our most effectively insidious enemies in many, many cases, more often than not, are people who biologically look just like us. And we must be honest with ourselves. Reverend Edward Pinckney has been attacked by the Stooges, and in this case, this stooge, Mayor James Hightower. But he's acting, Hightower, that is to say, Mayor Hightower in Benton Harbor is acting on behalf of his plantation masters, his corporation masters. And when once we realize that, you know, it's like Brother Malcolm said when he gave the parable where the quote-unquote house Negro said to the master who was sick, he said, we's sick. Well, we's not sick. Master's sick, and I hope he dies. Do everything I can, because we need to change this system. And that's what Reverend Edward Pinckney and others have been struggling to do. And that's why such vicious, vicious charges and actions have been brought against our dear brother, Reverend Edward Pinckney. But we have the power. We have it only if we use it. If we don't use it, we lose it. I urge everyone, we must use that power. We must, or we will definitely lose it if we don't use it. So, I mean, I'm not going to go on and on. I want to say that I had the opportunity to read a letter dated April 24, 2014, from a voter, a black voter in Benton Harbor. She pointed out, it's a notarized letter, by the way, Ms. Deborah K. Johnson, who pointed out that, quote, she was forced, quoting, this is a direct quote, she was forced to sign a previous letter that was not true. And that previous letter implicated and attacked Reverend Edward Pinckney with respect to his exercising, not only Reverend Pinckney, but the voters of all colors in Benton Harbor with a strong emphasis on black voters because it's a majority black township, okay, all of those voters were being, in reality, intimidated. This is not a question of voter fraud. This is a question of, or in fact, it's not even a question. It's a reality of voter intimidation on the part of the judicial police and police authorities in Benton Harbor. And as previous speakers have said, this is going on all over the United States. That's really what, at this point, I have to say, unless you want to ask me anything else, my sister Monica.
It's an honor to be on the line with you, sir. Thank you for all of your revolutionary work, not only in Minnesota, but I know as a member of the Black Panther Party, you've done work all across this country. So we thank you and look forward to your continued support and advocacy, and just hope to continue to learn more from you in this struggle.
Well, thank you. All of us have our task to do, all of us. No one of us is as smart or strong as all of us together. So I thank you. I'll simply end in the same words that I was using in 1967 and 68, and those words are, all power to the people. Thank you, Sister Monica.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You too.
Next on the line, we're going to have our friend Mr. Ralph from New York. Are you there, Mr. Ralph?
Yes, I am listening to every word and extremely happy on this day in May. Because what Reverend Pinckney, Larry Pinckney, Fannie Lou Hamer, and the many others that were named have been working at for a long, long time since, and maybe before 1865, was the minds of our people. When I say our, the oppressed people of color in America. It was Henry Highland Garnett, not until the eyes of their mind have been blinded will the work of slavery be completed. Well, the eyes of our mind have been blinded, but as was stated last week on this program, I am happy because we are winning. And what lets me know that we are winning is when they had to arrest Reverend Pinckney and they had to deprive him of all of his rights, his ability to speak out, told me that that was the final resort. They couldn't do it any other way. So they had to expose themselves. And as they expose themselves, it further exposes what has been going on in America all of these years. I hear more people around this country talking about what is happening. Now, we use the term metaphysical imperialism. This is the imperialism of your mind. But when you understand it's just a lie, it is no longer metaphysical imperialism, but an attempt to control your mind. And our minds have been controlled. We are like an elephant tied to a stake. And as Marcus Garvey, who was referenced earlier in the program, once said, we arise when we awake, then the world will tremble. And I see the arising, the awakening of oppressed people around the world is happening, and the world is trembling. And I must say that in our era, Reverend Pinckney has been a beacon of light for all of us to follow. When he first said years ago, this emergency fiscal manager is not for Benton Harbor, it is for the rest of America, because you didn't need 64 of them for Benton Harbor, only needed one. Well, we have a lot of them, and they are spreading their wings throughout the country, and they are, as the young lady said before, privatizing everything. Privatizing education, privatizing the prisons, privatizing the public domain, privatizing libraries, privatizing large public buildings and selling them to a private interest and saying we are lowering our deficit. We are lowering our debt. And we have to remember who created this debt. It wasn't a poor guy or a poor woman purchasing a house. This debt was created Anthony was out there telling us, be ready, because it is here now, but it is coming to you next. While it has come to all of us next, but we were not blindsided. We heard it. We understood what was coming to us, and now we are fighting back, and they've had to take this draconian action that will further educate people about the vote, and I'm glad to hear about the attack on Fannie Lou Hamer. And I'm going to go back to Fannie Lou Hamer's words when she said, back in the 60s, we the people are ready for freedom, but the black, democratic, loyalist were not. Remember that we were ready for freedom, but the black, loyalist, democrats were not, and she was being kind when she used those words.
Well, Mr. Ralph, what are the things that you're doing there in New York? I know you're educating people and keeping them informed. Is that the biggest thing that you see as our weapon, is trying to make sure people are informed on what's happening? Mr. Ralph, we're getting some feedback on your line.
I'm going to put you on mute and come back to you, if that's okay. We're going to go to Miss Belinda in New Orleans, if that's okay. And then we'll try to get you back on the line, Mr. Ralph. This is the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. Monica's on the line. Who am I speaking with? You're on the Pinkney to Pinkney Show.
Yes, come on.
Can you hear me?
Just hang up.
The line is breaking up. I'm gonna put you on mute and see if that helps us out. I don't know what's happening to our line. We're getting a lot of feedback. I apologize. So just bear with us for a couple of moments. If you'll bear with us just one moment, please. We're having some difficulties with the line. Hello? You're on the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. You're on the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. This is the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. You're live.
Hi, Monica. How are you today, Monica?
I'm good. How are you? I apologize for the technical difficulties. I don't know what's happening, but glad to have you on the line.
This is Edward, and I've spoken with Reverend Pinkney a couple of times this week. I'd like to start out by a couple of quotes. One, the individual is handicapped by a conspiracy so monstrous that people don't even believe it exists. That was J. Edgar Hoover, and he said it 40 years ago.
Wow.
There is no question about it. I listen to the show every week, and the challenges are coming up all over the country. This really is not a democracy. Voting is pretty, it just doesn't work. They're rigging the voting. Look what they did with Al Gore and Bush. I mean, they just stole the elections. There is no question about it. And people saw that. It was pretty obvious, okay? I'm going to read something else. First of all, those who would trade liberty for security has none and deserves neither. That's Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Another one, a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse over loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilization from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. Gee, in 2076, we celebrated our 200 years. We're over the limit. During those 200 years, these nations always progressed through the following sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Well, the situation that is going on in the country right now is actually back in, we're going back into bondage. We are at the very end, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. We trust in the legal system. We trust in our government. Many, many individuals do. They have not woken up still. Many individuals have started to wake up, but their knowledge is so limited. They think that if they argue or they protest, and yeah, they're going to get something done. Well, they got answers for that too. The way they pronounce the lawyer in the UK is liar. They all belong to an association called the Bar, which is part of the UK, and they are actually citizens of the UK, of another nation. That means all lawyers, basically, if they belong to the Bar, they are on the same team, the same organization. That is why when a lawyer gets you to cop a plea, it's called. I think people have heard this expression. When you cop a plea, that means you don't go to trial and you plea bargain. That's another way to say it. The lawyer actually gets paid from you and from the other side. Now, I have been told that the word attorney came from French language, attorney, meaning one who deceives. I have never trusted attorneys. I have known many of them. Many of them have shown me and coach you to lie in the courtroom. So it is absolutely seems fitting. And I know that personally. I have files that show that the corruption in the court system is so deep, so powerful, that it's beyond anything you can imagine. The judges, for instance, in Van Nuys, California, they own all of the giant courthouses there, and they lease them out to the county. Plus, they get two checks. Plus, since 1960, they've been funneling money off. When you pay in your money, there's no accounting whatsoever. It's all unaccounted for. And they funnel the money off to room 119 using the EIN number from the county to avoid taxes. And they write themselves very nice, handsome amounts of money, all of them. Gifts for watches, trips, all kinds of things. And there is no accountability of any of it. Even Judge Farrell, who's a very popular judge there, one of the not exactly handsome-looking judges. He's pretty foul-looking the way I look at it, and I hope he doesn't get too offended by it. All he has to do is look in the mirror, and he'll see what everybody else sees. When they sentence you for instance, when you have conflicts in your marriage and they want you to go for therapy and it costs thousands of dollars, guess who owns those places where you go to therapy? Yes, Judge Farrell. All of these judges basically are getting money from the side when they sentence children to go to detention centers that are privately owned and there's big money in it. They're getting paid to do this stuff. The money and the graft is beyond anything you can imagine. It is nothing what people think it is. So why wouldn't people be in apathy? They know something's wrong. They know it's monstrous. Black people especially have been hard hit, suppressed. But it's not just black people. It's all poor people. White people are included. So don't think it's they're being fingered out. They just, they are fingered out. Yes, black people are heavily suppressed, kept more ignorant. If they can keep us all ignorant, they would. That is how they gain power over us, by keeping us ignorant and dumbed down in the public fool system that teaches history that's a total sham and a total lie. So how do you overcome apathy? How would you begin to win in courts when they don't teach you your language properly? So if you want to write documents or you want to speak in court, you use the wrong words, you put the wrong words into the documents, and where does that leave you? You can't win. They have us using the word kid to call our offspring. Do you know what the word kid means? A baby goat.
Me goat. Yes, sir.
A baby goat. Now, if you gave birth to a kid, what does that make you? That makes you a goat also. Well, in the IMF, International Monetary Fund, Monica, you're familiar with that, right?
Yes, sir.
It states in there that we are nothing more than human chattel on their plantation from sea to shining sea, owned by the Vatican and managed by the UK. If you think that anything is ever going to be fair in this country, you've got to be kidding me. We are not even privy to the Constitution. That is a contract. If your ancestors, and mine did not sign that agreement, that contract, if your ancestors did not sign that contract, then you have no standing whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. So how do they give you your constitutional rights once in a blue moon? Well, they do that just to keep the lid on things so people don't realize that the pot is boiling over. If people really realized what was going on, there would be a revolution before morning. Henry Ford, I remember him saying that. If they really realized what was going on in this country. Now, you can do things in a proper manner. When you're in a court situation in a civil suit and somebody like the trustee has no standing to foreclose because he has no trust deed and he has no promissory note and none of them do, you can file an affidavit and it becomes a criminal affidavit and you can hand it to the judge and it changes the whole courtroom into a criminal case. Now, if the judge decides to hand it to the district attorney instead of the grand jury, you tell him, excuse me, Your Honor, I gave it to you to give it to the grand jury. I didn't give it to you to give it to the district attorney. It doesn't work that way. You bypass the district attorney, hand it to the judge. If the judge doesn't go for that, you can W-9 him with IRS tax forms. If he doesn't want to sign it, you can 3949A him as a hostile and get all his personal credit information and go lean up his bond, the same with the lawyer that's in the courtroom. They are not your friends. If you hire an attorney and you give him a retainer, oh, by the way, first of all, if the judge doesn't want to give it to the grand jury, You can wait until the grand jury adjourns and stand outside the door and hand it right to the grand jury yourself. This is the way law is really supposed to be done. You can take these people down, but you have to do things correctly, and you have to know how to do these things. And I'm not saying we can win everything, and I'm not saying that we're going to win this country back. There's too many patriot groups in this country that think they're going to overthrow the government or go to Washington and put the entire government out to lunch and put in a new government. They're going to get rid of all the Congress people, get rid of the president. Well, let me tell you something. That's not going to happen. The president is the head trustee, and the judges are the trustees. They're collecting all the money, and it's a big slush fund, the whole thing. Everything they're doing is nothing but slush funds. And under international law, which is 4,700 years, the slave cannot rise up against the slave master. Who are the slaves? The citizens. The citizen means that is owned. If we are citizens, we are their slaves because we signed away our rights. Everything has been done methodically in order to keep us down and control us in a way that we do not understand and do not know. The same thing with a lawyer. Go ahead.
And what we don't know will hurt us. I mean, we've seen that play out over and over again.
What we don't know...
The law.
That's correct, Monica. What we don't know will hurt us. They say ignorance is bliss. You've heard that expression?
Yes, sir.
Well, it can also be deadly.
That's right.
So what is the answer? First of all, you can W-9 the lawyer, too. Since he engaged you in commerce under the UCC, anytime you deal with a judge or a lawyer, everything to do with charges, whether they're criminal charges or regular charges, are all monetary charges. They bond out all the prisoners and securitize them like they do your mortgages, and that's what kind of is one of the things that's upholding the dollar and the yen and the stock market. Every prisoner is bonded out because they're worth a fortune. Over a 40-year period, all the engineers that make 16 cents an hour or however much they make an hour instead of $150 an hour, that's worth a fortune over 40 years. Can you imagine what that slave is worth? Well, they have many, many of them. As a matter of fact, all electrical wiring for the entire military-industrial complex is built by the prison systems.
Wow.
For all, yes. It's really crazy what people don't know. So here's the way I look at it.
Okay.
Monica, I want to ask you a question.
Take 30 seconds to close this out, Mr. Edwards.
Okay. Would you get in a room with an 800-pound gorilla and try to wrestle that 800-pound gorilla for your life?
Truly not.
Well, why would you go up against the government and call yourself a patriot, which means pa means father, which means to give allegiance to the papa in Rome? That's the real meaning of the word patriot. I can't believe these people are calling themselves patriots. They are ignorant to their language. And why wouldn't you exercise your right of self-determination, as they've been speaking about in Crimea and Kiev, exercise your right of self-determination under the law, and we'll have our own nation, and we will all have standing to help run that nation. There is no other way to live in peace, dignity, and prosperity in this world, and we might have to get out of harm's way and get out of this place from sea to shining sea. It's not going to be pretty what's going to be happening in the future. People need to wake up right now. They need to come together, and they need to smell the sauce, because if they don't, they will never get to make any decisions in their life in the future if they don't understand what is happening now and what's going to happen. This has been Edward. If you'd like to talk to me, and I can send you files to prove many things that I talk about, 813-613-9206, 818-613-9206. One more thing, Monica. You've heard me talk about that I reverse all types of dysfunctional health. It's simple, It's easy, and I studied law and medicine for many years in order to protect myself, being a two-legged, because how else am I going to protect myself or my loved ones if I don't know law and I leave it up to the liars, and I don't know medicine and I leave it up to the medicine men in this country that are taught completely cut and poison medicine. They don't know anything about curing anything, and they're not allowed to. It's against their law.
I definitely appreciate your scholarship and all the hard work that you're putting in to just keep the family informed and engaged in this fight. We must resist. We must continue to organize, 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 and resist.
We're going to see if the indigenous people in the area where Reverend Pinckney live can help with that golf course that's sitting there. Many golf courses around the country have been taken away on indigenous lands, and there's ways of dealing with this from another point of view legally that is grandfathered in, so to speak. And by the way, did everybody know that every single golf course in this country is using 1 million gallons of water every single day? You got to be kidding me. Why aren't they growing crops for the people that are hungry instead of putting around little stupid balls for the elitists and building a golf course in a depressed area and taking the public beaches away from the people? Shame on these people, but that's the way they are. They are shameful, the people running things. It's a shame that people like this get to run things, and for me to call them my brother or sister leaves it very hard in my throat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Edward, I really appreciate you, and thank you so much for calling in to the Pinckney Show. I'll definitely let Reverend Pinckney know that you have his unlimited support and that you did call in today to give us an update.
Yes, thank you so much, Monica, and I'll enjoy listening to the rest of the show.
Yes, sir. Next, I hope to have on the line is Miss Gloria from Philadelphia. Miss Gloria, are you there? Miss Gloria? Gloria, are you on the line in Philadelphia? Do I have Gloria in Philadelphia?
Yes, I'm
Hello?
Here.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
This is Monica. Yes, this is Monica with the Pinckney Show. How are you today?
Hello?
Yes, Miss Gloria, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me now, nice and clear?
Yes, ma'am, I can. You're live.
All right. I'm reading from worldordernews.com. It was published July 5th, 2012. Rockefeller Eugenics Council subjected African Americans to mind control ops. Until recently, unsuspected and undetected, a publication surfaces straight from the Rockefeller archives, which speaks of eugenic mind operations on the black community of Chicago in the early 1960s. In an outright chilling speech, the two men in charge of the operation, Donald Boge and Palmore, told the American Public Health Association in 1964 that they were using the slums of Chicago as a laboratory, hoping to develop principles and theories which could be exported overseas. PhD candidate Edmund Ramsden reveals in his paper, Between Quality and Quantity, the Population Council and Politics of Science Making in Eugenics and Demography. That was 1952-1965. After writing extensively on John D. Rockefeller III and his commitment to continue his forefathers' eugenic dream to create an elite super race while simultaneously repopulate the planet, Ramsden is now a doctor at the University of Exeter and the London School of Economics, managed to retrieve some of the mind-blowing findings from the Rockefeller archive. Quite inadvertently, PhD stumbled upon evidence from within the archives of the Rockefellers themselves,
which conclusively proves that Chicago's Negro population was subjected to experiments in a laboratory setting conducted by Rockefeller's finest social engineers. The Population Council funded the University of Chicago in 1962, 1963 for a research program in problems of bearing and rearing children in high-fertility, low-income, low-education American families. Programs on American families were executed with the help of several clinics, propagandists, and other individuals roaming the streets of Chicago during a good part of the 1960s. We must not forget, when quoting these people, that the inhabitants of Chicago's slums are American families with children. When presenting the cold facts, it does not do to become desensitized or to shrug our shoulders in superficial indignation, for it is a terrible thing when people in power target the human mind for their pleasure, systematically undermine their dreams, and that in service of that ultimate vision to exterminate the unfit in favor of a self-proclaimed biocratic elite. And that is exactly what Vogue and Palmore set out to do as they attempted to halt the crude birth rate of Chicago's Negro population. This, of course, is a telltale sign of a eugenic operation underway, perhaps executed under the name Social Development Project, perhaps under Family Planning for the Poor, as eugenics is what it is because it involves targeting underprivileged and ethnic minorities in a laboratory setting. Thank you for listening, and hashtag Free Reverend Pinckney. Peace.
Thank you, Ms. Gloria. We appreciate you and all the work you're doing there in Philadelphia. And thank you for calling in and always giving us a scholarly report in terms of the historical struggle that we've been in for democracy and for freedom. And then also just making sure that people stay aware that this fight will continue even after us, and that's why we must hold ground right now where we can. But thank you so much for calling in on the Pinckney and Pinckney Show.
Yes, you're welcome.
Next we're going to have on the line Ms. Thornton, who's with us from Ohio.
Can we get people muting their phones?
Hello? Miss Dorothy?
Yes.
You're on the Pinckney Show.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm going to be talking, I'm going to read some information from The Rabbit Hole. It's a book by David Schurter. S-H-U-R-T-E-R, Satanic Ritual Abuse, Survivor Story. Probably the most surprising, although not terribly, to anybody, is what's the statistics at the back of the book. Each year, estimated 600,000 to 800,000 men, women, and children are trafficked across international borders. Some international non-governmental organizations place the number far higher, and the trade is growing. U.S. State Department Trafficking in Persons Report, Washington, D.C., 2004. Of the 600,000, 800,000 people trafficked across international borders, 70% are female and 50% are children. The majority of these victims are forced into commercial sex trade, U.S. Department of State Trafficking in Persons Report, Washington, D.C., 2004. Each year, an estimated 14,500 to 17,500 foreign nationals are trafficked into the United States. The number of U.S. citizens trafficked within the country each year is even higher, with an estimated 200,000 American children at risk for trafficking into the sex industry. United States Department of Justice report on Congress from Attorney General John Ashcroft on the government efforts to combat trafficking in persons in fiscal year 2003, Washington, D.C., 2004. Let me also remind you, this is not in the book, that in 2004, in the movie documentary, Deliver Us From Evil, Pope Benedict got immunity from the United States President of the time, George W. Bush II, for the rape of 38 years of children, Catholic children in this country. The rape and their ongoing manipulation and abuse into sexual slavery. And that just wasn't in the kids that went missing. It also was children who were forced into different career fields where they were used as sexual slaves across their entire lifespan. Remember, a lot of these children as adults are being brutalized in plain view in many industries across this country, which is why when we're talking about are people waking up, we're talking about people that are severely shattered under drugs, mind control, also known as neurolinguistic programming or human behavior, that they are unable to escape and get safety. So what is the one thing we must assure in this country? True safety. Let me get back to the statistics. The largest number of people trafficked into the United States come from East Asia and Pacific, 5,000 to 7,000 victims. The next highest number comes from Latin America, Europe, and Eurasia, with between 3,500 and 5,500 victims from each. U.S. Department of Justice, Health and Human Services, State, Labor, Homeland Security, Agriculture, and U.S. Agency of International Development Assessment of U.S. Government Activities to Combat Trafficking in Persons, Washington, D.C., 2004. From the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, and then they give a bunch of the names of those people there, U.S. Department of Justice National Estimates of Missing Children, an overview in the National Incident Studies of Missing, Abducted, Runaway, and Throwaway Children. Washington, D.C., Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, Office of Justice Programs, United States Department of Justice, October 2002, page 5, the U.S. Department of Justice also reports 797,500 children younger than 18. Again, let me repeat that number since I messed it up. 797,500 children younger than 18 were reported missing in 1 year period of time studied, resulting in an average of 2,185 children being reported missing each day in America. That's 43 people per state, and I only estimate it based on the 50 states. 203,900 children were victims of family abductions. Now, remember, there are people out there, if you look at the Noreen Gosh report and others, where family members sell their own children into sexual slavery. And that is very high up, and that happened to me. 58,200 children were victims of non-family abductions. 115 children were victims of stereotypical kidnapping. This is information that we never typically hear about. Again, this is from the rabbit hole. And again, while we send out our prayers of true safety towards the children of Nigeria who are kidnapped, 100 schoolgirls, there should be no child on this planet, given the mass movement of weapons and supposed those people we're supposed to be protecting, we should not have any of them going missing in this country. And yet a lot of them are being used for human hormone growth. That's why they use the term human steroids or human growth hormones. Those come from real people, folks. And children are the ones that haven't used them yet. So that's why they go missing. it is really important for us to begin communicating effectively. Now, there was something that Mr. Ken Rhodes sent out to me, and I hope he sent it out to everybody, and that was on a program of a national watch. Now, back in the days in the 70s, they had the community watch groups. Please know I looked at that website very carefully, and you can actually go in and put in your groups, because many people who call themselves targeted people, they are being deliberately and systematically messed with psychologically, physically, sexually, and technologically. They have been manipulated throughout their lives by people of all different races, religions, both genders, across all boundaries, up and down the economic scale, and in all different parts of life. These were people that were natural-born leaders. These were people who would stand up not just to defend those who were next to them from being brutalized, but from those who would have done this to anybody else. What we have going on in this country is a bully system where the laws refuse to hold people accountable. They're like a papier-mâché legal system. It's just there on the surface, but it's hollowed out and has no real true context to it. When we also move forward on this issue, we need to also consider looking forward to the issue of this papier-mâché system. When you go back and you look at that watch program, I suggest everybody look it up. It's with the National Association of Sheriffs. And here's my thought. There are good people that are in these programs. I certainly looked them up in my community, and I can say that while there are emails on there that doesn't have anybody's name connected, we don't know if those who are being targeted are being utilized from this list of those who are the neighborhood watch. Now, here's my point. It doesn't say that those of us who are being brutalized by these bullies who will not go and turn around and hold their own bullies and their own nitwits accountable, so instead they're turning around and brutalizing somebody else. It's the trickle-down effect. And a great many people across this country are being denied the right to work because they will not become criminally involved or because they feel there's an obligation, whether or not religious or other, to stand up against brutalization. Doesn't matter how old it is. Now, again, it is time for us to all begin looking at the National Sheriff's Association and consider joining that organization. Number one, the reason why it's very important is that if you do, and they deny you the right to be a member or to start a neighborhood watch, then that will tell you that you may very well be on a list more clearly. The second point is that if they do let you on and you get to go to the meetings, you may very well find that you're able to then document clearly what you are being put through and children that are going missing are put through, and you can then use the system that's in play to then report the domestic terrorists that are the bulliers, much like flash mobs using technology. We need to investigate clearly what's going on and begin to ask if we can join and join these groups. Because we have a right to, A, be safe in our homes and safe in our bodies and safe in our lives. Nobody but nobody, parents or anybody around us, can give permission for ourselves to be abused. And when a person is continually shattered, along with the fact of so many in this country were denied competent and good and decent educations. We were lied to. Now, what are we going to do that's helpful, safe, and moving us forward in a way where we can then turn the tables, and I would call our group Watch the Watchers, because we need to begin turning the tables on these people through legitimate systems. And if some of us who know these perpetrators, who they are, it's time to put their names in so that the domestic systems of this country that says they are security and safety, we will then let them know, and we will actually be able to chronicle and document this stuff. If you are, if you're now involved in attempting to put in with these different legal systems people who are brutalizing you, harming your car, destroying your property, killing your pets, or all the other different tactics, and you do not get any response through these systems when you're part of a neighborhood watch, then you can see about going higher with that. And again, we would then have a counter group that would be able to then become the watchers of the watchers.
And I think what I'm hearing you say, Ms. Dorothy, is that just like we advise people when they're being bullied or when they're in a domestic violence situation, you've got to tell. You've got to tell. That's part of being able to take your power back, is finding a safe place to tell so that somebody else that will advocate with you and that can provide that support is available to you.
You know, I have always been told in law enforcement and growing up that it was our obligation to tell the truth. And even as, and again, I'm going to share a website. This is a critical website for everybody. And I'm going to pronounce it so it's very clear. CCHR.org. So C as in Charlie, C as in Charlie, H as in hotel, R as in Romeo.org. When you get on that, there's a documentary on it. The documentary is The Hidden Enemy. Watch it from one end to the other. Because in it, what it does is it shows you the history of the mental health system in the invasion into our schools and into our churches. Also, the expansion, the wide and rapid expansion of the DSM, which is the Mental Health Manual. And let me take a little junket off here and say, do you remember what they call the doctor's oath? It's the Hippocratic Oath. What is the first part of that word? Hypocrite. What does hypocrite mean? It means someone who isn't telling you the truth. It means they're actually telling you the opposite of what you want to know. So they are taking an oath that is opposite of what you do no harm. Guess what? They're there to do harm. It's in their Hippocratic Oath. Hypocrite. Now, coming back to this film, in this documentary, it talks about the grossly and widely made-up words in the mental health system that are now being mislabeled against crime victims. And then they're putting them on a lot of the pharmaceuticals. These are doctors and real doctors and real mental health professionals who are obligated to the real cause of do no harm and help. They actually state in this documentary, there is no psychiatrist, no mental health worker who have ever cured anyone. Anyone. They also go on to say that a great many of these drugs in combination, which are not being told, are causing the problems. Now, please hear me. Because we do not want anybody doing anything radical. We want you safe and harm, you safe and not harm either to yourself or anybody else. If you have been put on any kind of drugs, I want you to watch this movie on CCHR.org, The Hidden Enemy. Take notes, but have someone you care about watch it with you, but take notes, watch it a couple times. And then see about finding someone who can assist you if you feel you have been wrongly put on this, any kind of drugs, because some people do have some issues, so we need not to totally, with a white brush, say that everybody's good to go. But we need to see about if you think you might be one of those people that may have wrongly been put on combinations of drugs that are actually causing the problems. You cannot simply get off of them cold turkey. You can actually kill yourself or really do more harm to yourself, and you don't need that. So please go and watch this. I read some really startling information, and it is it's time for our country to stop the selling and bit of children in this country, let alone the fact that all too many, the networks are never held accountable. At the last Super Bowl, over 10,000 human beings were put into sexual slavery, and no one, very few people, were even held accountable. Certainly the networks were not. And these are the people that, if their money was gathered up, we could probably pay off a lot of debt and put a lot of people, good and decent people, into work.
Well, Ms. Dorothy, before I let you go, can you give us that website one more time, please?
Yes. It's Charlie, so C, C, H as in hotel, R as in Romeo, .org. And the book is The Rabbit Hole.
The Rabbit Hole.
Yes. And it does talk about some pretty graphic things. It also goes back and it talks historically, because everybody keeps talking about how bad Obama is. This stuff goes back to Roosevelt's time. This goes back to the Reagan administration, folks. So let's not make sure that we exclude that this has been a long-term situation where a great many people that are older have endured these horrific crimes. And just one other thing. Our veterans, if you are a veteran, or know a veteran, or are a family member to a veteran, we have national issues going on right now in the VAs across this country concerning the abuse and negligence concerning the death of our veterans. I am a veteran. I have witnessed it for 20 years. I've reported it for 22 years, and I've gotten no help in the state of Ohio. Given every place I've been, I've seen nothing but abuse and the brutalization of our veterans. And this was by employees, other veterans who were participating in these human, organized criminal human trauma networks. And it is time that we call on our leadership at the city, state, and federal level to stop brutalizing our veterans and stop brutalizing our decent citizens. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Ms. Dorothy, for all your hard work, and definitely we stand with you in solidarity. Especially as it relates to our veterans, have the highest regards to all of those that have served our country honorably. We're going to go now to Ms. Sahara, who's in Alabama. Ms. Sahara? Welcome to the Pinkney Show. You're live.
Hi, Monica. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the Pinkney
Show. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing a little better this week. I've been under a lot of threats and harassment recently, and actually the morning, the day of Mrs. Pinkney's birthday, when they were coming for Reverend Pinkney that evening, is the same day that I had actually texted him or tried to text him a copy of my address because of the amount of threat I've been under and harassment to stop talking on the show lately. So I'm trying to actually relocate as soon as possible, ideally for the last weekend of this month. But I'll go ahead and say what I've been preparing to say. I do want to mention, because somebody I think is getting his text. He says he's not getting any text. As far as he can tell, he has no text service, but there's no error message comes through. So that's something to be aware of. No error message comes back. Today on Sunday, May 11th, 2014, I would like to address five things that are related. One is that something that Dorothy mentioned is to bring back our girls petition. She referenced the situation. The petition I'm referring to is by the first name IFY. Last name is just written with the initial E as in Edward. The person is located in Bonn, B-O-N-N, Germany, and they've posted a petition that is being widely circulated on change.org to bring back the girls that have been abducted from the schools. And they have a recent update posted on that as of April 14th, 2014, the United Nations Women and some other concerned agencies did release statements calling for the immediate rescue of the girls. And number two, related is that I have been preparing. I started doing this several months back. It was released in the Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance newsletter, information about that, preparing a presentation to the attention of the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, which is currently Professor Juan E. Mendez, Esquire. And he has acknowledged receipt of preliminary information I've sent to his office. It's not yet prepared for public presentation because it contains some private details of when, one example is when I was a university scholar, which is the highest merit-based scholarship that the university, as a university, offers for based on academic achievement, merit, those types of things, not need-based. And I was one of those for my university education. And one of several scholars, female, who were specifically targeted by a semi-secret network on campus. And I had very little idea what significance there was to some of the codes that they used at the time. The person who directly assaulted us being someone who went by the nickname Beelzebub, and I had no idea that it was related to satanic rituals and so forth. And his family has been involved in, his father in particular has been involved in research in pulsed signals buried in noise through the U.S. Naval Academy, and I'm still harassed to this day with similar signals, and I would ask that you keep the recording, try to get it analyzed of when we're having all that disturbance. That sounds very much like the type of disturbance that caused me to not be able to proceed with the narration of the Aaron Alexis email set to insert with my interview of Derek Robinson that's posted to the Chenier.com channel on YouTube, which I'll spell out shortly. And so three is in the process. I've sent preliminary information with the private details that need to be to have some identifying information removed for public presentation to members of the following three categories. They include clergy, that includes Reverend Pinckney Kiedley. They include lawyers, and they include journalists, because they all have a level of confidentiality privilege, although I'm sure all of our communications are being surveilled. And four is, along the way, I've contacted some relevant universities about this set of concerns, including what was mentioned during last week's broadcast, a mid-December letter to the president of a relevant university. And now currently this year, the United States Department of Education, specifically the Office for Civil Rights, is reviewing over 50 universities and or colleges throughout the United States for much higher than they expected sexual assault cases, particularly against women, and also, though, against men. I suspect the number of cases against men to be higher than we know about because of different stigmas attached to men coming forward and acknowledging that they've been overpowered in such a way, and things like that. But we could address that another time. And finally, five is now currently there's also a first report just released as of April 2014 of the White House Task Force to Protect Students from Sexual Assault. So with regard to this set of matters, because in my situation we're talking about many, many years having gone by with the same exact network of people, internationally networked, I've experienced it directly through Canada and the U.S. and actually some other countries that I've visited, including on scholars' trips, visits, and other, I've witnessed other scholars be targeted thus, including on the same trips, in very serious manners, where I had to stay by the dean's side, the associate dean who was our chaperone, and she was my mentor, and I was the chair of the Scholars Volunteer Community Service Committee, and we had to stay very vigilantly to help make sure that when a scholar's passport had been stolen in the process and so forth, to try to keep her there hostage, that we could bring her back to where she was supposed to be at university in the States. So updates are being posted to facebook.com/snowyoke. It stands for Stop Non-Consensual Experiments on All World Citizens that I founded. The acronym is S, N is in Nancy, O, E is in Edward, O, A, W, C as in cat. And also my YouTube video channel. It's at youtube.com/chenier.com. Chenier is spelled with an N in the middle. That's C-H-I-N as in Nancy, Y-E-R-E, D-O-T-C-O-M as in Mary. And I thank you so much for your time.
I'm getting nothing. It says I'm mute. Can you hear me? This is Ken Rhodes.
I can hear you, Ken. I don't know if you can hear me.
No. Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay. My wife says when I get on the radio shows, I sound angry. If I do, I wish more people would get angry. I'll tell you that right now. But we're going to talk about what the TIs have been telling you people for a long time. A lot of you are TIs, you don't realize it, but it's coming to all of you, and it's coming very fast. But on May the 24th, whether Reverend Pinkney can be there or not, we're not sure on that, but we need 1 million people there, because we can, at this point, we can make a stand and show them that we mean business about what they're doing up there. Just like we did at Bundy Ranch, we made a stand, and it worked out for us, so... Anybody, if you say, well, Reverend Pinkney may not be able to be there, I'm not going to be there. He needs you more now than he did, ever did. So we're looking for everybody that can to be there on May the 24th. I will be there. Now I'm going to tell you something about Friday. They sent us to a lady from Occupy Wall Street. A police officer came up behind her, grabbed her breast and squeezed them so hard it bruised her. And now they took her to trial because she elbowed the cop in the eye, and they gave her 7 years in prison. They would not let the jury see the video or what he'd done. So if we'd had a million people go up to that courthouse and say, no, you're not doing this, a lot of this stuff can be stopped, but it's going to take the people to do it. We got to get over being the cowards. Excuse me. Now I'm going to talk about a woman called me this week. Her husband's wanting to go with me because we're going on a road trip. And we're going to be in Benton Harbor on the 24th. And she's telling me her husband's a hypocrite because they're on welfare and he's speaking out against the government. And she thinks he's being a hypocrite for doing it. She says, he's speaking out against the ones that's feeding us. I said, let me explain one thing to you right now. That's what they want you to think. The government is not giving you anything. They're giving you we the people's money. So you don't have to get in line and do whatever they want just because they're supporting you. They want you dependent on them, and they want you to think in that way. So I tried to explain to her, but I don't know if I got through or not. And now another thing, Wolfgang Halbig went to Connecticut on the 6th of May because no kids died at Sandy Hook school shooting. No teachers died. As a matter of fact, that school, they're trying to prove it now, been closed down since 08, and they had to tear the school down because it's full of lead and asbestos. And from the Google searches, they show no cars ever at that school. But the new school, they had a lot of cars and stuff around it. So there's a lot going on that our government's not telling you. And now the next thing I want to get to is the sheriff's department. Every sheriff's department in the United States, they're using what they call information technology. If you go on their website and look up, they got an IT technician. If they got an IT technician, they're using this information where when you're in there, they're using this equipment on you don't even know it, and they know if you're lying or not. So that's the same thing. That's why the TIC, a lot of sheriffs involved in their targeting. Then also a lot of it's coming out of the churches. That's the reason we're being targeted, because the people in the churches get deceived and lied to, and they think they're doing the right thing. Well, you better rethink that, because it ain't going to be long. You ain't going to have any freedom whatsoever. So now I'm going to go down the Bundy Ranch. Now the FBI is saying that we're all domestic terrorists, so that makes me a domestic terrorist, because I was there standing up in the front line to get the cattle back. So now Mr. Bundy and them are going down next week to file a lawsuit to block the federal government, because the FBI said, we're not dropping this. We're coming after these people. Well, if anybody knows the FBI, they kill and cover up. That's all they're like the wise guy for the mafia. They come in and clean up after somebody, everybody gets killed. But even in our case, the FBI kills a lot of people and covers it up. So I'm hoping that I can get back down there after Reverend Pinckney's march and see what we can do about getting him free, because he's a political prisoner. I'm hoping I can get on that lawsuit, you know. So, but anyway, thank you for listening, and I'll let you go.
Apologizing just for some technical difficulties we've been having here on the line, but wanted to just try to get a couple of calls in real quick. Ms. Roz, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, and you're doing such a wonderful job, Monica. I wanted to tell you that for the last few weeks. So
thank you so much.
It's a blessing for all of us. I want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. Hugs to everyone. And all of us, no matter what color we are, we must unite together with God's love and compassion and caring and stand together, and our voices need to be heard across America, everywhere. Our schools are terrible for black, white, Latino, Asian kids. They're just a place for people to make money. They don't care about our children. They don't care that they're killing off injured teachers like Charles Smith, a black teacher, and destroying my life and health and the other teachers here at Los Angeles Unified School District in California. And this is going on across the nation. We have Governor Jerry Brown that doesn't care if the school district kills off injured teachers. He has a phone, and he could stop it, and he refuses to do it. We have Superintendent Deasy, the Board of Education, and Don Watkins, the director of the Risk Management Department, who gladly pays off doctors for bogus medical reports, lawyers to lie, and judges like my judge, Judge Gerald Cohn, who had a stroke, an aneurysm, and he's still working. I would call that diminished capabilities, and some deal must have been made here to lie in my workers' comp case. Workers' comp in the state of California and across the nation is just to use injured workers so the insurance companies can make billions of dollars. And so as the injured worker is denied their medical benefits and paid, and they die off. This must be stopped, this total disregard of human life. It doesn't matter what color you are. We are people. We're all people. We see, we eat, we talk, we have hearts, we have feelings, we have emotions, and no one has the right to destroy any of our lives. And it's time. People don't know what's going on unless other people hear your voices and you unite together in love to stop this. It must be stopped or we're not going to have a nation of anything except dumbing down of our students, having the majority end up in prisons as a business, killing off injured workers, giving us high taxes like they like in California, where we have businesses leaving. They're not interested in having people working. They want slaves. They want everybody being a slave again, white, black, Latino, Asians. There isn't really jobs out there anymore except if they're low-paying jobs. And all they do, the politician, is promise us, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. Here in California, the answer to everything is expensive things like the bullet train, billion-dollar items, and iPads in the schools. As the schools are falling down, education is being ruined for the students. Teachers are in teacher jails, having their rights taken away. They're killing off injured teachers. Bullet trains, the roads are terrible. The infrastructure is terrible. The waste, fraud, and abuse exist, and they want to raise taxes. This is going on all across America. We must all call for Reverend Pinckney. He is the most incredible person anointed by the Lord, and we all need to call Mike Sepik, at 269-983-7111, extension 831. Free Pinckney. He's a political prisoner. These people have lied about him and what they're doing. And we must do this.
Well, Roz, definitely appreciate you getting that information out there, that there are things that we all can do to help support Reverend Pinckney, and one of those is calling the Attorney General's office, the City Prosecutor's office, Mike Sepik. And so if you could repeat that number again for the listening audience.
Okay, 269-983-7111, extension 8311, 269-983-7111, extension 8311. And he's called me back a couple times here in California, and I told him that the whole country knows that they are lying about Reverend Pinckney, that these are only trumped-up manufactured charges. And
well,
anybody
I just know that he really appreciates your help and your vigilance and you getting this word out that we need people to call, we need people to show up for Occupy the PTA on the 24th, and they can continue to support Reverend Pinckney by sending their contributions to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Thank you, Roz. Thank you, everyone, for being patient with us today. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but continue to listen in Sunday from 5 to 7 with Pinckney to Pinckney. Free Reverend Pinckney.
All right. Thank you, Monica.
Thanks, Roz. Thank you for all your hard work. Have an awesome day. Continue the struggle.
Have a nice day.
You too, Roz.
Thank you. People can find me on the Internet, all my articles, Rozzy Press, Rozzy Press about workers' comp. Please contact me, Rozzy Wow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W, at AOL.com. I'm
Thanks,
a little
Roz.
Thank you. Bye.